All right, good morning, Grace Point. It's always nice to see you here. As you guys get in your seats, we'll continue on with our service. By the way, if this is your first time here, my name is Kyle. Normally, I am the speaker, the senior pastor here, but today I am not. I was planning on, but I'll get to that in just a second. But anyway, if this is your first time here, I just want to say welcome. One of the things I try to let everybody know, the reason why we do everything that we do, whether it is trying to create a sign-up list for Helping Hands or what we do on Sunday mornings here or the classes or the events that we do, it's just simply to try to encourage people to follow Jesus. He's the main reason why we do everything that we do. And so I don't know where all of you are in your spiritual journey, but our hope is that whether you attend today or another time or you come back again, that we can help you take whatever your next step is on your spiritual journey. So as I was saying, I would normally be speaking to you here today. Matter of fact, I was planning on doing it. I've gone through a little bit of a series of the character of God or the attributes of God, and this week I was going to go through the idea of the justice or the righteousness of God, which is sort of tied into the idea of judgment, which a lot of people maybe misunderstand. So we won't be doing that this week. We'll do that next week, Lord willing. But this last Friday, when I woke up in the morning, I actually woke up with pain in my chest and breathing. And in fact, it was fairly scary to the point where, as I was in bed, my wife had been up and she was up moving around earlier, that I thought I'd better just call her because I was that much having a hard time breathing. My chest hurt. It radiated up my neck. It came up through your arteries and everything. And so the first thing, you know, you wake up and you're thinking, oh no, what is this? And you're thinking, worst case scenario, if I'm having a heart attack or something. So I called my wife, and of course she didn't answer. So I called her again. She didn't answer again. I'm like, what am I going to do? Finally, she comes in and she says, did you call me? And I'm like, and you know, she looked, oh, you're not doing so well. So I got up, and we got out to go somewhere. We didn't know we were going to a walk-in, or we decided to go to the ER. We went to the ER, and it was almost, I say the first service, it's like the parting of the Red Sea. There was nobody there. I was like the only one almost. So they just brought me right in and took care of me. But basically looking out for things like heart attack, you know, pneumonia or a blood clot, things like that, that they had checked me out for. And so I was there for most of the day, came back with all my tests, passed all my tests with A's. They gave me an A. Doctor gave me an A. So no, none of those things. And then what she said was, people come in like this all the time, and it's one of three things. Usually it's a gastrointestinal issue, or perhaps it could be a muscular, like pulled muscle or something like that. Or even it's like stress or anxiety or things like that. And then she kind of sent us away and said, you know, you're going to go see your doctor or whatever and try to figure that out. And we still didn't know what it was. So that Friday, the elders, we got together, we talked, and we tried to see if we could find somebody who would be able to take my place today in case I really didn't feel well. Because at Friday, I still hadn't felt well. Well, Saturday night, the same thing happened to me. And then I realized that I decided to, like, lift myself up on my bed and prop my head up. And I slept at an angle. And as soon as I did, all of the pain and everything went away. And I thought, aha, this is the issue. It was a gastrointestinal. Now, just so you know, gastrointestinal is just a fancy way of saying heartburn. I was very scared that Friday morning, but now I look back at it, it's almost kind of embarrassing, to be honest. And so I'm on the whole Prilosec diet and all that stuff right now, and I feel perfectly fine. I'm absolutely fine. So I would have been able to speak to you today, but because of all this happened, I got on the phone on Friday night, and I talked with Jerry Platts over here, and Jerry said that he would be willing to help. Jerry, he was a pastor for around 20 years. He's teaching, you know, Bible classes, science classes right now, and he said he would love to help. And I just appreciate Jerry. He took an entire day yesterday in order order to prepare for us today. So would you all welcome Jerry Platts as he comes up to share with us today?
Thanks. I also will give you welcome if you are visiting here today or you're online watching. Welcome. Want to trust that it's not just us here or me sharing a message, but God is here and God has something good for you. And I want to just say that I really appreciate this church. My wife Kathy and I have been coming here about 5.5 years. Our son David's been coming with us. And this is one of the many places where we feel God is doing things. And so we are glad for what he's doing here. We're glad for Pastor Kyle, Pastor Josh, the elders, the many leaders who are doing things here. This is a good place. And if you're looking for a church home, this is a good church home. But the focus today is not so much on us or on me or anyone. The focus is on Jesus. The focus is on God. We're going to be looking to his word here. But let me tell you a little bit about me first. I'm from Missouri, which means every once in a while you hear me slip in a y'all. I went to college in Boston. I grew a lot there getting to know Jesus and the Bible. I had been raised going to church, but I grew a lot during those college years. I graduated in biology. I worked in research labs in molecular biology for about 10 years. And I've also worked some in carpentry. I enjoy working with my hands. I studied and became a pastor. For, like Kyle said, for about 20 years. The last 6 years, I've been enjoying teaching in Christian schools. My wife and I, Kathy and I, are both teaching over at Ross Corners Christian Academy. So God's had me around to do a lot of different things, and I don't necessarily feel like I'm great at anything, but I serve a great God. We have a great God. So, again, the sermon's not about me, it's about Jesus. And so my theme today is that God wants you to believe how much he loves you. If you can, look up 1 John 4 in a Bible, if you have one, or use the Bible in the back of the seat there, or if you're on device, I've got that QR code up there, and that should take you to 1 John 4 on the ESV Bible website. If you're in the Bible and you're not familiar with where to find things, go to the back. The last book of the Bible is Revelation, and just before it are several little books that only are a few pages each, and you'll find 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and this we're going to 1st John, and we're into chapter 4 there. So as you're finding that, let me just share a little bit of my heart about when we read Scripture together. We consider this book to be God's book. In fact, the word Bible is just a word, I think, out of Greek that just means book. It's the book. And in it, there are about 66 different documents. Sometimes we call them the books of the Bible. They're written by a number of different authors over a lot of different centuries. And yet, what the Bible tells us about itself is that one God was speaking through each of those authors, encouraging them, leading them to write down exactly the words that have been passed down, translated into lots of languages, but passed down to us so that when we hold this, or it's on your device, or we hear it, this is God's word. It's God's word to us. And so we want to respond to it that way. So if you're like me, sometimes in the morning, now that there is this technology, while I'm preparing breakfast, I'll listen to the Bible being read out loud off of my phone. But however you're taking that in, or right now, this is God's word to us. So part of my habit when I read the Bible at the beginning of a message like this is I like us all to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand as a sign of respect. This is God's word. We're going to let him speak to us. I'm going to be reading from 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7 and reading down to verse 19. So follow along with me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We'll come back to that in a moment. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen. You can be seated. And I'm going to pray. Father, Lord God, we want to come to this as your word. We ask that you would speak to us. Lord, as we are looking at this, as I am sharing about it, pray that you would be guiding my words and that we would hear, all of us would hear from you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So my main idea today is that God wants you to believe how much he loves you. And I believe that if we believe God's great love for you, if we're understanding how much he loves for us, that it's going to set us free to live life with him. I have a quote that I came across years ago, a book by Doug Sherman. The book was called More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God. And it was a book that God was using in my life at that time. And I wrote this quote down, and I dug it up yesterday. But here is what he said. And I think this sort of encapsulates some of what I hope we will see in God's Word today. God's infinite desire for you is for you to engage him every day in such a way that you enjoy a growing companionship and a great adventure and are fundamentally changed from the inside out by his incredible character. This is the life God created you to live with him, and he is devoted to giving it to you. He is devoted to giving it to you. He is relentlessly pursuing you for this kind of deep relationship. God loves us. He wants you to believe that. But we have a hard time. We have a hard time feeling like God loves us. Lots of times it's easier to just feel like we're not measuring up. We're not measuring up in life or before God. If we've come to the place where we are trusting that God, pardon me. If we come to the place where we are trusting that God loves us. Usually, that's not where we began. There's lots of these messages around here, and we've believed them. I'm not good enough. I've failed. I've done all sorts of things, and God can't be happy with the things I've done. I look back, and I'm not happy, so how could He be happy with me? Around us is a culture that has a lot of sad jokes about the bad things that we've done or we've said, and they say, well, yeah, I guess for that I'm going to hell. And they're joking about it, but what that says is that there's a resonance in our heart for that side of things, that our conscience remembers God's justice. Our conscience remembers that there's some standard and there's some God there, and we're feeling like there's something wrong and He's probably not happy with us. And so that resonates sometimes more easily than the sense that God really loves me. And my hope today as we look at God's Word is that you're going to be greatly encouraged by truths out of His Word, that God will help you believe that He does really love you. So the first place I want to go is to pick up that phrase from 1 John 4:8, God is love. So if you're looking there in verse 8, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now that's a interesting thing, because we normally think of love as something that we do or a feeling that we have. So it sounds strange to say that God is love. But there's not a mistake here, and I want to show you that this is pointing to the truth in Scripture that God in His very nature is love. And you say, well, how does that work? Because love is something that has to be expressed to someone. Well, let's look. Under here, the first thing I want to point out is that long ago, before God created the world, the Bible says God was already involved in loving relationships. Again and again, the Bible shows that there is God the Father and His beloved Son, who we know as Jesus, our Savior, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. And so we see that in the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1:26. God reveals Himself as plural. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And so that's plural. And when Jesus came and spoke again and again, He spoke again and again about He was the Son of God, and at the same time He was God, and that the Holy Spirit was also God. Three persons, one God. So I want us to see some of how much is in the Bible about how God the Father and God the Son love one another, always have, always will, and the Holy Spirit's right in the middle of all that. There's a love going on in the nature of who God is. So we see some of that at Jesus' baptism. Father loves the Son. So Luke 3:21-22. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. So this is God the Father speaking to God the Son with God the Holy Spirit right in the middle. It's the way it's always been, the way it is, the way it always will be. Another time on the mountain where Jesus' glory was revealed, we call it the Transfiguration, Mark 9:7. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, this is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. God loves the Son. In fact, I sort of think that this is like God saying, my Son, look at Him. Now, some of you who are parents have that experience of saying, look at especially those of you who are grandparents. Any of you grandparents? You know, my kid, my grandkid. You know, there's that part of us which I think is an echo, a resonance from who God is, that God says, this is my son. Look at him. God loves his son. There's this love in the personhood of God. And Jesus telling about how the Father loved him. In John 3:35, he says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And then the counterpart to that is the Son loves the Father. In John 14:31, Jesus says, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. So there is this relationship in the person, in the nature of God, where there's this love going on. One more from John 17. Jesus is praying to the Father the night before he's going to be betrayed and crucified, and he prays, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Before Father, Son, and Holy Spirit got around to doing this thing we call creation and putting people in it, there was already this love between them, and that even then, God the Father was loving his Son and giving him glory and saying, you know, I want you to stand out. And so there's this idea that here Jesus is praying. He's saying, but I remember this is the way you've always loved me, and I want them to come and get to see how you've been loving me. God has never been lonely. In that sense, God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. God is happy. God is full of love within himself. He doesn't have any needs. But it's in his nature to love. And that's very good news. So here is our summary. We've been looking at 1 John 4:8. And it says, God is love. That is true. God loves. And then all the gospel just pours out of this, because this is our God and he loves. He expresses that out. He pours that out. This is why God made us. So this leads to our second point. God made us like him to be able to know him and to receive his great love for us. This is part of what I think it means at the very beginning in Genesis 1:26, when it says, God made us in his image. So in Genesis 1:26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And the next verse explains what does that mean. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So part of that image is the very fact that God made us capable of relationships with someone who's not like us. And God's making male and female was part of his design so that we might experience some of what love is like in marriages, in families, in friendships between people who are similar but not alike. All of our love, imperfect as it is an echo of the image of God in us, what God is like. He is a God of love, and he's made us to desire love and to want to love others. Now, while we're still in Genesis 1 and 2, we're talking about how God designed it. A perfect world, I think, if there hadn't been sin, it would mean that every child would be born into a family where there's a loving mother and father who are showing something of what God is like in that love. And every child grows up in that, and there's no pain or all the problems we have now. Of course, now we live in a world where that's not true. Sometimes you know, we can look back and we can say our parents did a pretty good job of modeling God's love. And we've grown up feeling that, and that's great. Sometimes it hasn't been so good. Sometimes we bear scars. And the very fact that we have emotional scars, I think, tells us a huge amount about who we are and who our God is. Because why should we care? I think we care and we feel hurt because there's an echo in us. We have been made so that we desire love. And there's something in us that knows what that should be like. And we get disappointed and we hurt and we cry. And that's an echo that says, God made us this way. And we are longing for the love that maybe we haven't felt yet. God's made us because he wants to fill that. He wants to love us. And that leads into something, or connects with last week's sermon. If you were here, Ashish, one of our elders, was sharing, God wants us to be in a personal, loving relationship with himself forever. And his main idea of what he had up on the screen last week is God's goal from the beginning has always been to dwell with his people directly in face-to-face fellowship. And that God's preparing an eternal city that when the kingdom comes down from heaven, in that city, God is going to dwell right in our midst with us in face-to-face relationship. He has been planning that from all eternity. He is looking forward to being with us. He wants that. And of course, the problem, and we talked about that last week also, is all of us have turned away from God. The Bible says everyone has gone their own way. The story of the Bible is that we, from back in the Garden of Eden, we listened to lies, and ever since then, we've been afraid of God. We keep seeing the things that we are doing wrong, and we don't trust that God is going to be good, and we do other things. All of us fall short that way. Isaiah 53:6 is one of the best verses that summarizes it easily. It says, we're all like sheep that have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way. That's what the Bible says is sort of the problem of the whole world. In some way, every person, before we find Jesus, is in fear and hiding. All of our bad habits come in some way because we're trying to cope with the world by ourselves. We haven't yielded to following the Lord. That's the story all down through history. So what's it look like today? I think it's the same sort of thing. Some people are trying to cope by, you know, I teach kids middle school through high school all the time. There's some of them who are afraid no one will like them. So they compensate by taking center stage and they're always talking. And there's others who are afraid that no one will like them, so they're hiding. And some try to be really good at things and excel. And we have ways that all of us try to cope. And it's driven way down deep by this fear that if I don't do something, life's going to fall apart. It's not from a trust that God's in charge. He loves me. He's going to take care of us. Now, a sort of funny example of this, I'm going to take it from the world of cats. We have two cats, Lucy and Susie. They are our kitties, and they are loved, and they are given treats, and they get cuddle time, and we try to do everything that is best for them, including sometimes keeping them on a diet. We play with them, and sometimes, like this last week, it was time to get their rabies shots. And so there was a time Thursday, I brought two cat carriers into the living room, and immediately there's our cat, Lucy, who tends to be our scaredy cat, who was scared and went to hide. And eventually we found her, you know, just like a melted pancake in the corner. Things are going to be really bad. Anytime the doorbell rings, she's gone. Anytime there's a loud noise, she's gone. Anytime she's in the kitchen where the food bowl is and someone moves too fast, she's gone. She's afraid that something bad is going to happen. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, she's afraid. We don't know what happened before we adopted her from shelter, but she has believed in her little cat heart that life is dangerous, scary, and something's bad is going to happen if I don't cope with it by hiding. Now, that's a story about cats. We are humans. But there's something that's similar for us, that all of us in our fallen natures tend to have ways that we're trying to cope because we're afraid. So what I've been trying to point out here in the second thing is that God's made us to be like Him, to be able to know Him and receive His love, but we have been running and hiding from God. But that's not the end of the story. Again, just connecting with what Ashish was saying last week, the middle of the story is that God sent His Son. God has always been reaching out for us, and He sent His Son Jesus to come rescue us. So let's look at that back. Our third point in here is that God in love sent His Son. So 1 John 4:9-10. This is how God showed His love for us. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That's what the word manifest means. It's a fancy way of saying that God showed us His love. There's another verse just like that I've got on the screen from Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. But back up here with verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved us, and He reached out for us first. It's not that He looked down and said, oh, you're acting fairly good toward me, and you're reaching out to me in love, and so I will love you back. No, He loved us first, and He reacted by saying, I'm going to reach out into your world where you are, and I'm going to inject myself into your world. And coming into our world, Jesus being born, involved this fancy word propitiation. That basically means that, yes, all of our sins, all the things we've been doing, all of our hiding, that, and in our hiding, doing wrong things, God is not pleased with that. We've actually sinned against our loving Creator. We deserve death forever. And there's a punishment to be paid. And God, in His love, has decided that Jesus, His Son, would become one of us and take our punishment on Himself and die. That's what propitiation means. Propitiation means someone's mad and the payment has been made to take away the anger. And Jesus has taken the punishment. He died instead of us. And so God's word says this is His supreme demonstration of how much He loves us. We know, some of us know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, gave Him to die for us, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God gave His Son. He sent His Son. And we're just called to believe that, to trust that. And so that leads to my fourth point. If you're believing and trusting God's love through Jesus, that we become God's beloved children. Not just that we're forgiven, but we become a loved child of God. If you got your Bible still there, turn back one chapter, 1 John 3. The first three verses say, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." God loves us. He loves you. Now let me ask, do you believe that God loves you? Not just that God loved the world, that He loves you, that He wants you to be with Him forever. He likes you. There's so many places here in Scripture where believers are called beloved. Don't skip over that. That means you. If you have trusted Jesus, God loves you. You are beloved. If you're listening today and maybe you've never responded to God's invitation saying, "Will you trust me and let me love you?" Maybe today is the day to believe. Stop running. Believe God loves you. That you can become His beloved child. Now, it doesn't stop there. We have amazing things said in the Bible about what's continuing on and into the future. So let's look at our fifth point. God has amazing plans to lavish love on us forever. Read along with me from Paul's letter to Ephesians. This is our future hope. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us," great love, "even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Now, there's a bunch of mind-blowing ideas there, but part of it is that when God raised Jesus from the dead and seated Him in heaven, we were so united with Him that there is, for every believer, there's part of you that's united with Christ. There's a part of you that's already sitting with Christ on the throne in heaven. That's an already thing. That's a past tense in that verse. It's already there. Now, do I feel seated with Christ in heaven? A lot of the time I don't feel that, but it's true. But what this verse is saying is that God is preparing in that stage when heaven comes down, we're with Him in the eternal city. God is preparing all sorts of things to lavish on us in love. It says His immeasurable riches of mercy and grace and love. I don't know what He's preparing. Some of you have had a favorite uncle or grandparent who would just show up loaded with toys. When our kids were young, when my dad, Grandpa, would show up, 7-hour drive at our house, almost always he brought toys, gifts. And some of you are grandparents, you know that. You like to give things. That's just a little echo of what God is like. And God's preparing to give and give and will show His love to you forever. That's what's ahead. God has amazing plans to lavish love on us forever. Now, that's our future hope. Our present hope for right now is that God is working in us by His love to set me free from the fear. The more I trust I really am loved, the more I feel free to be who He's called me to be. You know, a little bit of that, if you've been in a loving relationship with that person, you feel like you can be yourself. And that's what God's hope for us is. So back in 1 John 4, This is towards the end of 1 John 4, verse 17 and 18. This is how his love in us is going to be, is setting us free from the old habits. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. See, what this is saying is that as we trust that God loves us, as we believe that, as we start living in that, all of a sudden those things that have we've felt compelled to hide, or felt compelled to get angry, or felt compelled to be anxious, or felt compelled sometimes to lie, to fib, to try to cover up, all those compulsions which came from fears, the power sort of dissolves. And because we can trust that God really loves us, the love is casting out the fear. And we become changed. Not because we're so good at the disciplines of trying to be better, though disciplines are good, but because from the inside out, love is changing us. Perfect love casts out fears. There's a song that just came out in Christian radio last year. I think we've sung it here by Phil Wickham. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. I want you to just pause, because some of you know that song, and some of you may yet come across it. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. And that is true. This is who he is. He loves. He is God of love. He is love. Our God is love. The song goes on, this is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross. He beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. So how will you respond to God's amazing love? What's your next step? I have some ideas that you could just say, believe with me. If you're a note taker, I would suggest, maybe this is the time to just stop taking notes and go along with these. Here's three things I've gotten written down, which are belief statements. And maybe this is one of the ones you want to say. You can say, I believe God loves me just as much as he loves his son Jesus. I am dearly, deeply loved. Maybe that's the faith step God's asking you to take right now. Beyond that, I believe God showed his love for me by sending his beloved son into my world to take my sin and my punishment so I can know his love. Maybe today is the day that you finally say, I don't just sort of know that, I believe that God sent Jesus for me. I believe Jesus calls me to know the Father and to enjoy his love and life together with him forever. For a lot of us as who are believers, God's constantly trying to get us to believe more and more that he has good plans for us forever, and to be looking forward to this, to enjoy that relationship with him day by day. And along the line of enjoying God's love day by day, I have a couple of more things here I suggest. One is, remember all these things that we've believed wrongly and we've been afraid of God. So I renounce the falsehood and lies that have made me afraid of God. I renounce those things. And God, help me see where I've believed wrong things. I just say, no. Help me believe that you love me. And I look forward to living a life of love with God and letting him love others through me. when we were reading this passage in 1 John, you probably noticed that it's jumping from, if God is love and we know He loves us, we should love others. Now, that's a great sermon, and it's true, and I've just tried to focus on the first part, but it is true that if you know a God of love, it's going to lead you to love others. And we can say, Lord, I look forward to you letting, I look forward to letting God love others through me. So, I hope that you are believing God loves you. I hope you'll see that He's shown that love by sending Jesus. And that as you walk with Him, as you trust Him, you're going to find freedom. I'd like to pray. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for coming to reveal the Father to us and to die for us and offer forgiveness and a new life, not just sometime in the eternity, but right now, a life filled with the Father's love. For everyone who's here, Lord, whatever that next step of faith, of trust is, I pray that you will help us. Help us to take that next step, and that you will show us and help us experience your love. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So have a good rest of your day. Go in God's love. Amen.